reconnect with your essence, to your community, and to all that is. Today's guest, Dr. Pam Crisco, has just that goal in sight when she works with clients using psychedelic medicines in therapy. Her expertise follows her into the Western medical model as easily as a talk at the Telluride Mushroom Festival or the jungles in the Amazon with Paul Stamets. I'm Robin. Stay tuned for Tributaries. Pam, first, let me thank you for engaging Full Steam Ahead on behalf of psychedelic therapies and bringing their use into the mainstream. It's very important work for these times, I would say. I'm sure many of our listeners are aware of the pharmaceutical and governmental legislative roadblocks in the use of plant medicines, but I don't want to focus there today. I'd love to hear your thoughts in starting on this being what I've heard called the medicine of the people and why their use is of such importance.
It's an interesting way of saying it. I think probably to step back to a bigger, like a 50,000 foot view of it, is remember that, number one, we're a part of this planet. And from wherever peoples came from, it would have been wise ones that would have learned the plants and the fungi and the animals and which ones were edible and which ones were not. And we've learned all these uses. And when we became more movement oriented and moved away from those, you know, we kind of lost a little bit of touch. There's all sorts of plants all around our houses and our homes and in the forest. They're useful to us in many ways, whether wood for making fires or putting on wounds. They've been used more for ceremonial uses than the way we look at them now, which is more as need to fix something all the time.
Right, right, yes. Challenges.
Any wise medicine person of any village would have known how to use the local plants and fungi. And I like that terminology, medicine for the people. These certainly are healthy and helpful tools for us, especially right now when we're kind of watching mental health challenges go up, despite the best times ever for pharmaceutical interventions.
Just the fact that plants are exactly as you said, and we're all an integrated part of this world, they just naturally indicate and communicate and introduce community into a connected source for healing. And as you just mentioned, I think it just indicates in a way that we're all so sick, and where is that line between sickness and health? And yeah, I just want to look at a more integrated way of being, and plant medicine certainly offers that to us on so many levels.
Yeah, well, it can help us bring us back balance. I just want to circle back to what you're saying there is, we're logical, right? I heard you say, you know, you want to get away from this, like, why do we always need to be healing? We're just logical humans from what we've experienced. You know, the more connected we are, the more healthy we are. And nature wants to go to balance. Bodies,
yes.
Our mental health to go to balance, want to be balanced. It's logical. And if we are in a time of turmoil, if we are in our fear, seems to be used against us. You know, we just see the worst of the world broadcast. And so our responses are logical.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it makes sense.
Of course.
It makes sense. It all makes sense. It's little baby steps.
Yes.
Like, just do one more healthy thing in a day. Like, drink water. Eat whole foods as much as you can.
Yes.
Move your body every day. And get out in nature, or even just laugh. If you're going to be on social media, use it to get a good belly laugh. And then be in community. Hang out with your neighbors. There's nothing more fun than sitting around the campfire with community and laugh, joking, and, you know, mushrooms for me have been part of that.
Oh, yes.
Some mushrooms, be smoking some cannabis and sitting around and just being creative, playing guitar.
And I like that you bring up whenever there's a regulation, there's a stopgap put somewhere. And I like the idea of just using different things as recreational. I would love to see all of these therapies move forward, but move forward incorporating the whole, which is always the way to go. So in looking at different therapies or rather looking at science, there are ways that we've made assumptions about the brain and how it works. I know when you look at these things and have used psychedelic therapies, the research has helped shift these antiquated ways of looking at the brain and perhaps how the mind works. So what comes to mind first for you regarding this within your work?
There's a lot of things that have changed and shifted, even, you know, from the beginning of when I first studied medicine to now is, you know, for a very long time, we thought, of course, the brain didn't develop anymore or couldn't change. And now we know that's completely not true, that we can, lifelong learning in the brain can continue to develop. Psychedelics have certainly been very helpful for that. What is actually first, I need to put this out there, what is first really important is science is always advancing, always developing. So the tools we had 200 years ago greatly improved. And so every time the tools improve, whether it's better blood work or better imaging, we learn more things. And sometimes that means the theories we had earlier changed.
Yes.
That's a wonderful part of the science. Always advancing. And sometimes we prove the theories that seem so logical before wrong. And so that's happening with the science of psychedelic therapies, too, is the beautiful work of like neuroscientists like Bill Dolan, who's showing that with these medicines, with these fungi medicines, there's actually possibly what's called a critical window that opens up in the brain where we can relearn things that we thought we could only learn in our childhood, in our infancy, which has great implications for people who have had strokes, head injuries. So that's new. And granted, their research is still in the rodent stage, but hopeful is that maybe a stroke survivor with the help of psilocybin mushrooms could regain function. We've recently seen a case report published in the scientific literature of somebody with advanced stage of dementia getting a little bit better after a journey. These are things that we would have not thought possible. And that's because the wonderful scientists are doing so much work on what parts of the brain are being activated, what parts of the brain are talking to each other when we're under the influence of these medicines. It's pretty exciting. Like somebody one day can come into our clinic working with and be extremely depressed. And after, you know, maybe a 4 to 5 hour with ketamine or a 6 hours in with psilocybin, when they walk out, they're a completely different person.
Right.
And a lot of that we just don't even understand, but we do try to put theories to it. And that's what's really important for people who aren't scientists, is that most of what we think of how things work in the body are theories.
Everything is.
Advancing them as we get better and better. Like, no one's ever seen psilocybin actually go in real time into a human cell, neural receptor. We have to keep that in mind, but yet we see these incredible changes so quickly.
Yes.
So it advances the theory of the mind. So like you were saying, like what we used to think about how the brain works, we're just learning every day, oh, we were wrong. And I think that's exciting. I don't think people should ever be upset about science being wrong, because that's how we learn, right? We
Yes.
do something, then we try it out, and we go, no, we were wrong, and we should celebrate. Equally, when we learn something is wrong, that's still data.
Yes.
Exciting. And, you know, just seeing what brain waves certain ailments have and how we can use these medicines to work. Because I'm in a clinic all the time, we have a great team. We see it. Sometimes you just don't have to measure something. Like, we see people getting better in real time. People that have been suffering for years and years and years with challenges. And, you know, after 4 to 8 hours, there's been a huge shift. That's remarkable.
You know, one thing I was going to bring up a little later, but now you've presented the moment, is that therapy has certainly moved along and shifted through the ages, and there are all kinds of therapies now. In the shift, you know, there was a time when maybe emotions weren't really looked at or acknowledged. And I'm sort of feeling, from an outsider's view, that emotional therapy is having its heyday right now. Do you feel like it's imbalanced? Do you feel like it's too much of the picture?
I think we've never been in a more exciting time with therapy, actually, because there's just so many more methodologies, especially with psychedelic therapies, which is very useful for people move along who have had deep trauma. We've seen the evolution of somatic therapy. The bigger the buffet table.
Right. Good way. Yes.
Right. It's the more things, like some people may do very good with cognitive behavioral therapy or traditional narrative therapy or Jungian therapy. It doesn't matter. A good therapist has many skills, but also, you know, I'm a huge believer in the group process. We gain so many of our traumas in relationship with humans, and one of the best ways to heal is in relationship with humans. We start to see in groups that we're not the only one that has these challenges. We're not the only one that has been in a cyclical depression. We're not the only firefighter that has PTSD. We start to see that what we are experiencing is logical for the life we have lived, and it's logical for being a human. We have too much of something, like too much of a life situation. It's logical to be depressed. To us, in our, again, in our program at Reach to Thrive, it makes sense.
Absolutely.
What you are experiencing makes for the life you have lived. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You never were broken. You're simply having the symptoms of the life you've lived. And now can we help you move through that? I think that process helps people. Like, they're not just me.
Right.
That's what's happened more recently in the last decades. We've become very insular and very individualistic, and that's not normal. We're
right.
meant to be communities. We're meant to be with others.
And I feel like there's so much these days on that, and I think there's something broken, not with people, but in the way that people are relating by acknowledging different, you know, different sexual preferences, different colors of skin, and all of that. We're sort of at a standstill in a way. It's like it's getting in our way more than it's helping us move. It's one thing to recognize, but then it's another thing to focus on those differences.
And we're at a point, too, where people are realizing how manipulated we are. Like it's, I mean, as a physician, I just have to say over and over and over, like, there's no logical reason to buy junk food, you know, but the ads and the way it's placed in stores, there's no reason, you know, if you want to thrive, you need to eat real food. The optimism here is that as soon as you realize you have a choice,
yes.
not to be manipulated,
right.
and step back, like you can turn off the news, you can turn off your screens, you can get out into your community and meet people, you can have a community barbecue, you can, you know, sit out on your front step and watch the kids play in the street and have a great time, and don't have to be on your screen. If we're upset, we live in fear, we will shop.
Right.
You know, we will be scared of each other. We will not help neighbors. And that's not normal. We can use these things for great tools, right? Some of the smartest psychologists in the world have been hired by these companies to teach them how to manipulate us so
right.
they can make more money. Now, their behavior is logical for them. In that corporate structure, it's all about monetizing. We as humans don't have to do that. We can turn off the screen. Like, we have the ultimate superpower, turning that off.
And in working in a community in order to move through traumas or PTSD or various fears or whatever, that to me feels very much like shamanic ceremony. And I'm wondering if there is more basis or more leads from the shamanic ceremonies that you've learned that you do incorporate into your work.
Yeah, absolutely. We have the privilege of having Indigenous elders guided us through our program right from the very beginning. A huge history of ritual. And
yes.
that is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Ritual and ceremonies woven in. It is important to recognize these medicines as special gifts. Wherever we would have come from, there were always rituals. Rituals with the changing of the seasons. There were rituals with rites of passage from moving from one age to another. Rituals of coupling up or getting married. Rituals of death. And these medicines equally work better. In ritual, you know, there is a way of approaching them, preparing oneself, ceremony of how the medicines are handed out and met, and how you introduce yourself to the medicine and talk about what your intentions are for your healing journey or your creative journey. there's ritual in sharing after the process. There's ritual in integrating the process. And there's ritual in what you need to do after to further integrate. Book and record, but it's like drinking water, food, getting out in nature, moving your body in a way that's enjoyable and some sort of exercise, being in community. But that ceremony, and then to continue to meet, continue to talk, and aha moments, and to laugh.
Yeah, and in looking at these moments, these aha moments, when you're working with PTSD or various other traumas, do you find it important to zero in on the effects of what happened and why someone might be in a traumatized state? Or do you work and then you get these aha moments without specifically going back and remembering the traumatic events?
Yeah, great question. There's a lot of ways people approach it. The analogy I use is we're all going on this beautiful hike. We want to get to the view, and we're going on the trail, no matter what, towards the viewpoint. And these medicines are going to take you forward, no matter what, whatever your mind, your body, your spirit,
right,
moving forward. So whatever that looks like. So for some folks with PTSD, it means going directly to the trauma. For some people with PTSD, it means going further back and healing some childhood challenges or childhood wounds. Everybody's path is a little bit different. They meet you where you're at and take you forward. And then the job is then to integrate that and to make that new normal your normal.
Right.
You calibrated that new plateau. You go a little bit higher. The approach to PTSD with psychedelics is led by the individual. The team doesn't drive healing. The person drives the healing.
Right. Huge point. Yes.
You know, yeah, there's no power over. Like, that is one of the biggest things is
bravo.
People that work with psychedelics is we're walking alongside.
Yeah.
We are with them. There's no guru level here.
There's such a story to be known, or a truth perhaps to be known. There's a hypnotism that we've really all been born into. So to continue into that ultimate truth in our lives, mm-hmm. how do you work mm-hmm. with that to move beyond once
yeah.
trauma has been dealt with or integrated perhaps?
What I know is that that pivot is very powerful. A lot of people have given up their power, and that's okay. It's not a criticism, but again, the optimistic thing is you can take it back. Like, there are so many things we can all do to make a world that works for everyone. Like, we have on this planet more than enough resources for everyone. We have more than enough wealth for everyone. If we chose to, we could all be living the most beautiful lives. No one needs suffer. We just need to make a decision that that's the world we want. And we don't have to worry about doing it at the macro level. I've said this for a very long time. All great change comes from the grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been a top-down great idea. Not even once has there been a top-down great idea. The great ideas always come from us, from the grassroots, from inspired people. That's the truth of the time. So every one of us has the opportunity to make this world a lot better. And all we do is we do it by baby steps. We do it by meeting our neighbors. We do it by being kind. We do it by reaching out. We do it by lending a hand. We do it by laughing more. We do it by making sure that there is healthy food everywhere. We plant gardens. We help our neighbors plant gardens. We grow food on our windowsills. We take our lives back. We get off the screens and we go, what can I do to be creative? We paint, we play guitar, we play music, we dance, we laugh. And then we use tools.
Right. And it is a decision.
The world.
Yeah, it's originally a mm-hmm. decision. And I know mm-hmm. the wounded healer oftentimes became the knower, the seer, the shaman. And yet there is a skill set to doing the kind of work that you are doing, and certainly wounded healers in the sense of if someone has moved through a cancer or moved through huge PTSD or traumas of abuse or whatever it may be, in a sense, they have a leg up in that they've experienced so they can relate. But there's another place where we can relate. And as a practitioner, speak a little bit to that.
Great question. And you know what? I would like to go back a little bit, because there's kind of a delineation, like in our traditional places, wherever we grew up, like three generations ago, we would have been apprenticing into
yes.
being knowledge keepers. Like we would have followed our grandmothers through the forest and learned from them. We would have learned in this apprenticeship, mentorship. And really learning was like that for most of history, only for a very short time.
Yeah, last names, like Goldsmith. University. Yeah.
In the last couple of centuries, really. And yes, what you said is something that is so common. The people I work with individually, some of the most successful people in this world are the most wounded. The drive is such a drive to accomplish, to show that you're worthy, that you deserve love, that you deserve, you know, there's so many children that have been told they'll amount to nothing. And so they try so hard, they become successful in business or they become successful in medicine. And so many of us that went into medicine or nursing, any of the healing fields, trying to help other people, come through challenges. Certainly for me, when chronic pain worked, it was because I had suffered from chronic pain and I got better. So let me help the people get better. Many of us that work in the mental health field came from mental health challenges and now feel great. And now it's our turn to lend a hand and walk with other people to help them get better. But also in the business world, you know, so many people, it's so blatantly obvious for all of us in the mental health field of how much mental health issues there are in the top business leaders. You know, people that hoard money, like hoarding money is a mental health issue. If you went into somebody's house and there were egg cartons stacked to the roof, they're a hoarder. You go, there's a mental illness here. It's no different than hoarding yachts and cars. Like there is a deep hole people are trying to fill there.
Yeah.
It's not normal. We need to start talking about this in society. And the crazy amount of money killing people in wars when we need to feed children in schools.
Right.
These are pathological behaviors. And we just need to start talking about it logically. Like this kind of behavior in humans is mental illness. And all change, again, comes from the ground up. So your listeners have so much opportunity to do little baby steps.
Right. And
will help our mental health.
Mm-hmm. Something that I became aware of, I guess a couple years ago, I was talking to a fairly well-known therapist in L.A., and he was saying how he gave up his license to practice psychotherapy or psychiatry, mm-hmm. rather, because he wanted to use psychedelic medicines and could not do that with a license, with fear of being sued or whatever mm-hmm. and all these things. And he said that a fair amount of therapists, and this was a couple of years ago, were following suit in that they're not caring about the licensure. They want to help people, and they're finding the best yeah. way they're able to do that is through therapies like we are talking about now. Mm-hmm. And that's a very definite change, and which means they can't go the insurance route. So yeah. they're taking on a lot by being the change, which is so great to see.
But the other thing I'm seeing there, too, what I find exciting is everything you said, yes, absolutely, we see that, too. And fortunately, you know, I'm in Canada. It's a lot easier for people to work legally with these medicines here. I'm seeing so many psychiatrists and psychologists that are to retire deciding not to because of psychedelics. You know, finally, we get to work with medicines that actually work.
Right.
I get so many emails every single day from doctors and nurses going, how can I get into this field? What training?
Right. Nice.
Where can I get supervision? Where can I get mentorship? Like, we are excited in medicine because these medicines work.
Yes.
It is so nice. This is why we went into healthcare, not to drug them.
Right. Yes.
No, we want people to get better and thrive and get on with their life and play with their kids and go create music and, you know, be a great plumber and
right, I know, yeah.
go fishing
and
you know,
smile and feel
and
good.
This is why, and the whole field of medicine feels rejuvenated. And if all the medicines we had in our toolbox actually worked, we would be seeing it go down. But no, we see with psychedelic therapies, anxiety is going down, PTSD is resolving. Like, that's why we went into medicine. A lot of nurses, too, that have also given up their to work in basically in the underground.
Right. Another place this has really come in handy, and with a lot of nurses that work in hospice, so much has changed there. And it's just such a beautiful thing to see. You know, I've heard of nurses that are working with a patient. Their doctor comes in and goes, oh, well, give them this or that. And the nurse goes, well, no, I've been listening to what her dreams are, and she's going to be leaving us before the medicine will kick in, or, you know, something like where there's an awareness that's happening through the medical practitioners as well as patients. And, you know, I want to move back to the whole communal kind of thing, because I know, and this is how I became aware of you, Pam. I saw something about you're going to be traveling with Paul Stamets, who many of us may know is the great mycologist, and Rick Doblin, who has been working with medicines for many, many years. And you're going to be traveling with them doing a program, and I'm wondering, what are you personally looking forward to in being able to be with others in your community, but with a different focus that they have?
It brings a lot of people together, going to a part of the world that I've been to, but going there very intentionally to learn more from other cultures. And this is a deep learning, not only from ourselves and those that will be on this excursion, but also to learn from their elders and their ways. When we bring so many people together, it gives people an opportunity to really show up.
Yeah. Pam, in closing, in looking at your service-oriented careers in criminology and firefighting and forest service, and now working with trauma and research, is there a particular gift you feel you've been given through all of this work?
The gift I get is that watching people thrive just feels like this is why I went into medicine. It makes being a doctor just so rewarding. I just want people to thrive.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of thrive, I will bring up the place where you work, Roots to Thrive.
It's a nonprofit, which is, I think, is important. Like,
yeah.
That's one thing we have decided as healthcare people, is that we didn't want this to be a shareholder value. We do sponsorships and scholarships for people who can't afford the full amount. We're working so hard to bring the prices down while giving people the experience they deserve to heal.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important conversation to be having in the U.S. is, does healthcare have to be for profit? I would argue no. I would say no, absolutely not. Healthcare is a human right, and thriving is a human right. So I really encourage folks to consider the nonprofit model and go, you know what, your team can be well compensated. There doesn't have to be a shareholder value at the end.
Beautiful.
There's a few other things, if they're relevant at all. The one thing we've also done, the Roots to Thrive protocol manual for ketamine therapy was completely published it and open sourced it to the world. We wanted people to see, we're really collaborative that way. And we share it. We publish a lot on our program so people can replicate what we're doing or learn from us or take the pieces they like. So we want the whole community to be that way. We share and we collaborate, because we're at this time that is so important for us to share and get along and collaborate and find our ways back to our communities and have fun. Like, we need to have more fun in this world. We're not here to be in conflict. We're not here to be upset. We're not here to be in battles. We're not here to be angry. We're here to have fun and make music and make art and grow food.
I know.
It's not that hard.
Let's move out of all of this insane hypnotism that we were literally born into.
And it's so fixable. And it's constantly what we're coaching our patients on. Okay, you don't want that. What do you want? Focus on what you want.
Yes.
Focusing on what you want, you will get there. You don't drive the car looking in the rearview mirror. You drive it by going, where am I going? I'm going forward. How am I going to get there? Okay, let's baby step.
Pam Crisco with Roots to Thrive. Thank you. For anything we do here at Tributaries, it's tributariesradio.com. And our podcasts are where you hope to find them. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.